Now, 50 U.S. states are on alert for possible violent protests just days ahead of President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. Afghan police say gunmen have killed two female Supreme Court judges in Kabul, the latest in a string of targeted killings in the country. And Uganda's main opposition presidential candidate remains under house arrest following a disputed election which saw Yoweri Museveni extend his 35-year rule. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Appreciate you being with us. First story takes us to the United States this hour, where former FBI Director James Comey has warned of a very serious risk of violence at the inauguration of U.S. President-elect Joe Biden next Wednesday. Comey said there are armed, disturbed people that police need to take seriously ahead of the event at the Capitol. U.S. intelligence reports show authorities are tracking thousands of threats against politicians. Online threats include calls for assassinating Democratic lawmakers. There are also calls for building improvised explosive devices and using sniper rifles to kill law enforcement officers. That has prompted security forces to gear up for a series of demonstrations and potential violence across the country. Supporters of outgoing President Donald Trump have planned a million militia march in Washington on Biden's inauguration day. Political commentator Alexander Azad Gunn believes Trump supporters are resorting to violence to terrorize people.
You know, there's a lot of online chatter, there's a lot of keyboard bravados, a lot of keyboard cowards, really, and they're trying to terrorize the people. Let's not forget the definition of terrorism is violence being pursued for political goals. We have censorship that's coming on social media. We have an information ecosystem that doesn't have any gatekeepers anymore, and the gatekeepers who are playing that role right now are, they're censoring things that should not be censored. I was reading Voltaire today, and this sentence just jumped out, which said, "Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities." QAnon now has a member of Congress on its side. This woman named Marjorie Taylor Greene, who says on the second day of President-elect Biden's tenure, she's preparing articles of impeachment. Congress should consider censoring these people.
Unidentified gunmen have killed two female judges working for the Supreme Court in the Afghan capital of Kabul. Police say two armed men opened fire on a vehicle carrying employees of the Supreme Court during morning rush hour in northern Kabul. The driver of the vehicle and another employee were also injured in the shooting. No group has claimed responsibility for the attack, which is the latest in a string of targeted killings in the war-ravaged country. President Ashraf Ghani, in a statement, has condemned the attack, saying, quote, "Terror and violence are not the solutions to the problem." Violence has surged across Afghanistan in recent months, especially in Kabul. Sunday's bloodshed comes as Afghan government and Taliban negotiators are set to resume peace talks in Doha. Amin Alami earlier joined us from Kabul and gave us more details about the assassination of these two female judges there.
This recent incident happened in Taimani area of Police District 10 in north part of Kabul. Interior Ministry later on the day confirmed that two female judges who were working for the Afghan Supreme Court were the target of this assassination, and both of them were killed. The rising insecurity, mainly bomb blasts and targeted killings, have been widely denounced by not only the Afghan government but also by many local rights bodies and even international rights bodies, particularly the UN. The Afghan government says launching such attacks, mainly expanding targeted killings, is after highlighting the weakness of the Afghan government, mainly the military wings and security and intelligence wings of the Afghan government. But top governmental officials here in Kabul have repeatedly stressed that they are doing their best to win the minds of the people in order to make a united front in order to bring peace and stability in this country via backing an ongoing peace talks in the Qatari capital Doha between the representatives of the Afghan government and the Taliban delegation there.
It's time for this hour's news review. Ugandan opposition leader Bobi Wine is reportedly under house arrest after disputed presidential election. Wine's party, the National Unity Platform, says police have surrounded his home. However, officials say police are providing security and protection for him. Meanwhile, Wine has pledged to legally contest the results of Thursday's election and urged supporters to refrain from violence. Other votes saw incumbent President Yoweri Museveni secure his sixth term in office. According to Uganda's Electoral Commission, Museveni won 59% of the vote. Wine has accused him of fabricating the results. He's called the poll the most fraudulent election in Uganda's history. I'd like to welcome my guests to this news review. Abayomi Azakiwi, editor of Pan-African Newswire out of Detroit, and Julius Mobalatu, Africa Affairs expert and political analyst out of London. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Detroit. What's your take, Abayomi, on what is happening in Uganda? On the one hand, the current president basically is saying that he has won fair and square, and of course the opposition is accusing him of fraud.
Museveni has been in power since 1986. He didn't come to power through the ballot box. He came through force of arms due to the political chaos and contradictions that have existed, that did exist in Uganda, beginning in the 1970s through the mid-1980s. And people do credit him for stabilizing the country politically and socially, as well as economically. Nonetheless, it's hard to gauge whether or not the allegations of Bobi Wine are accurate in terms of whether or not he actually won the elections. The European Union seems to suggest that the elections were a reflection of the political sentiment in the country. Nonetheless, perhaps there needs to be some review of what actually happened, but who's going to carry out that review? And at the same time, what is the alternative program to the national resistance movement coming from this leading opposition candidate?
Mm-hmm. Julius, your take on where the situation is going in Uganda. We know that Bobi Wine now is under house arrest. Do you see the situation calming soon, or do you think it could get worse?
I want to say that Museveni never changes the script. The script is always the same. We have seen before his contender, oppositionist Kizza Besigye, previously going through the same thing that Bobi Wine has gone through. We've seen before, prior to the election date, during when his contender was Kizza Besigye, we've seen him being arrested, supporters being arrested before the election. So there's nothing new, definitely nothing new. We have seen, Kizza Besigye having fought him before, being disoriented by this kind of tactics Museveni uses, using the military and also excuses of his protecting the presidential candidate, actually when he's restricting their movement. What Bobi Wine is going through right now, Kizza Besigye has gone through, but actually Bobi Wine has gone through worse. We saw before the election the violence meted by the security forces on Bobi Wine's, supporters, and also Bobby Wine supporters being arrested at the same time. Now, election is over, and to the credit of Ugandans, it was pretty peaceful. But of what use is a peaceful election whereby citizens have really gone through to withstand long queues and the pain of waiting, yet there's no transparency? You see, in proper elections, number one, opposition leaders don't go through arrest before the election date like we've seen in Uganda for a very long time during Museveni's reign. And also during the election day, every opposition party, every party is represented on the ballot. So when everything is being counted, they all agree and they sign collectively. All leaders vying for position, I mean political party leaders, they agree on the results. But in this case, you have a country internet shutdown. And at the same time, you ask yourself, even how did the Electoral Commission transmit their results from the villages, from the local levels to the national, without internet? How was it possible? So the lack of transparency, the use of military to contain opposition is a disaster for Uganda. And actually, when you look into also Museveni's mind, Museveni, you can never challenge him. You say, oh, 40 years is too much, you know, long for one president to be in power. Then you tell you, oh, look at UK, there's no presidential limit. Look at the US, there's no presidential limit. That's what he always says, excuses, excuses. But this is Africa. You know, this is a republic. It's not a monarchy. And every child born in Uganda should have the right to vie for presidency. If one president stays 40 years in power, that's about four generations.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Where the bone of contention comes in. In the future, I do think Bobby Wine faces challenge because the court system is still under the control of Museveni, and also at the moment is really restricted by the military.
Okay. Abayomi, your take on what Julius has just said, that if they were free elections, then there wouldn't have been such a crackdown on those who supported Bobby Wine prior to the elections.
Well, in the United States, there are limits to terms. You can only serve two terms since Franklin Delano Roosevelt won four terms during the 1930s and 40s. And they have shut down Donald Trump on Twitter and many other social media platforms. So he has been silenced. So this is not something that is unique necessarily to post-colonial Africa. And it's not clear to me that Bobby Wine would have won the elections, even with the United States, which was never certified to come in and observe the elections in Uganda. I mean, who would trust the U.S. at this point as an objective observer of national presidential elections? So the U.S. representatives who wanted to come in and help observe the Ugandan elections were denied that privilege. But the European Union was there. And we'll have to see what happens in the aftermath. They have had Bobby Wine in detention. There were reports that he was tortured. He came to the United States for medical attention. Nonetheless, in terms of the East African community and other regional organizations, Uganda is very much involved. They're number one trading partner with Kenya. So we'll have to see what develops in the next few days and next few weeks in regard to the internal political situation in Uganda.
All right, and on that note, I thank both of you for being with us on this news review. Abayomi Azikiwe, editor, Pan-African Newswire out of Detroit, and Julius Mabalatu, African affairs expert and political analyst out of London. Sudanese Doctors Union says a death toll from the tribal violence in the restive province of West Darfur has reached 83. The union says at least 160 people, including troops, were also injured in the city of El Janena. It says clashes subsided by midday on Sunday, and the security situation has started to improve. The violence broke out on Saturday, a Sudanese human rights organization says it all began after a member of an Arab tribe was stabbed to death. The violence quickly escalated into broader fighting involving armed militia in the area. Now, the governor of West Darfur has declared a state of emergency and authorized the use of force. Just weeks ago, UN peacekeepers began withdrawing from the region. Meanwhile, dozens of Sudanese protesters have held a rally against their government's recent decision to normalize relations with Israel. Protesters gathered outside cabinet offices in the capital, Khartoum. They burned the Israeli flag and chanted slogans against the regime. Protesters also carried banners that called normalization with Israel a crime and an American blackmail in exchange for submission. Sudan announced normalization back in October of last year. It was the third Arab country after United Arab Emirates and Bahrain to do so under U.S. brokered deals. Under their agreement, the U.S. removed Sudan from its list of state sponsors of terrorism. And in return, Khartoum paid Washington $335 million in ransom. Iran's foreign minister has criticized the European signatories to the 2015 nuclear agreement for failing to fulfill their obligations. Mohammad Javad Zarif said the accord is alive only because of Iran's efforts.
E3 leaders who rely on the signature of OFAC functionaries to carry out their obligations under the JCPOA have done zilch to maintain the JCPOA. Remember Emmanuel Macron's stillborn initiative? Or UK non-payment of court-ordered debt? The JCPOA is alive because of Iran and not E3.
Zarif made the comments after his French counterpart Jean-Yves Le Drian boasted about the efforts of France, the UK, and Germany to save the deal. Iran has time and again criticized the trio for failing to compensate for the U.S.'s withdrawal from the nuclear deal. The U.S. pulled out of the accord in 2018 and reinstated sanctions on Iran. That pushed Iran to reduce its nuclear commitments. But Tehran says its measures are reversible if only parties fulfill their own obligations. Well, the U.S. Space Agency's launch system has hit a snag as NASA cut short its first tests of a massive moon rocket earlier than planned. The test of the space launch system was expected to last 8 minutes, but the engine shut down just about a minute into the burn. There was no word on what went wrong, but the agency said teams are assessing the data to determine the cause. Although the test was cut short, the space agency, in a tweet, said it was still useful and provided valuable information for the planned mission. The rocket is intended to launch the Artemis 3 mission that is scheduled to take astronauts to the moon by 2024. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Edition. Thank you all so much for staying tuned.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Listeners special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, January 17th, 2021. I'm Atefer Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So, dear listeners, please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Or, if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And here I do express my deepest condolences on the tragic martyrdom anniversary of the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Dear listeners, please stay with us until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report normally will be receiving a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. However, these days, as you know, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material, including paper QSL cards and souvenirs, on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Hasna from India, G. Hojbins from Belgium, and M. Abdulrazak from Bangladesh. Dear listeners, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And also a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mention some of their names here. And later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including Igor Kolke from Russia. Igor Kolke is one of our regular listeners. Also, Yari Kerhonen, one of our regular listeners from Finland, has sent us an email. We have an email from Sweden. This email is from Olmar Kovic. And João Carlos El Caputo from Brazil has sent us an email. And Patrick Travers from England also has sent us an email. Many thanks, dear listeners. Please stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I start, first of all, with an email from Igor Kolke. Igor Kolke is one of our regular listeners from Russia. Igor Kolke says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a shortwave radio listener from Moscow, Russia, and I'm currently having a great pleasure of listening to your broadcast. I very much hope it is possible for you to verify this reception report by issuing a QSL card. Thank you for your excellent broadcast today. I really enjoyed it, and I hope to hear from you soon. And would love to receive a QSL card from you to add to my collection." Salam and greetings to you, Igor Kolke from Russia, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We're glad that you enjoyed our broadcast, as you said. It was excellent. Much pleasure, Igor Kolke from Russia. And as for your request about sending paper QSL cards, as I've said before, this tradition, I mean, sending any item, including paper QSL cards, on behalf of IRIB English Radio, has been temporarily halted due to the outbreak of coronavirus. Of course, we will get back on track after this disease is controlled over the world, and this tradition will start as soon as possible after the hygienic protocols are removed. We wish you all the best, Igor Kolke from Russia. Write to us soon. Also from Finland, we have an email from Jari Korhonen. Jari Korhonen is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello from Finland. I was able to hear the signal of IRIB English Radio from Iran at 12 to 13 Tehran time. The signal was poor to fair for a while, but the station faded out soon after it had given the station identification. I enclose MP3 clips about the reception. It would be a pleasure to receive a verification from you." And salam and greetings to you, Jari Korhonen from Finland. And many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. It seems that you had the trouble with the signal, but don't worry about that problem, because we inform our engineers about that trouble as soon as possible. And as I have said before, our effort in IRIB English Radio is and has been providing our dear listeners around the world with the best quality of broadcast. Many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back from Brazil. We have an email from João Carlos L. Caputo. João Carlos is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello, dear friends. My name is João. I am a Brazilian shortwave listener and DXer. My station is located in Brazil in the city of Curitiba. I'm sending a reception report via email. If there is another email to send my report, please let me know. I would be happy if I can receive a QSL card to confirm my reception. Thank you so much, and best regards from your listener in Brazil." Salam, João Carlos Caputo from Brazil, and lots of gratitude for writing to IRIB English Radio. Regarding your request about sending QSL card, as you may know, this tradition is stopped temporarily on behalf of IRIB English Radio because of coronavirus pandemic. We will resume this job after the disease is controlled around the world. For the time being, wish you all the best. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us which programs you like the best. From Sweden, we have an email from Olmar Kovic. Olmar Kovic is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, although your new year is at a different time, here are good wishes for the new year to you and the IRIB English Radio staff with thanks for your kind email. Our Christmas and New Year celebrations this time were harmonious and happy. Just my wife, Samka, our daughter, Arlinda, and myself together, we have got a small Christmas tree, also a goat made of straw, and some colored candles. Our Christmas food is not traditional for Sweden. It is rather varied with much vegetables. My memories from my childhood Christmases are still strong after 75 years. We were four in the family: Dad, Mom, my younger brother, and myself. We were poor, but still a happy family. I used the family radio for listening to the world from the age of 10. It was my keen interest, and it has stayed with me all these 75 years. The memories of the past are happy and sad at the same time. I am the only member of my childhood family still alive. My brother passed away 2 years ago, but I am happy in my new family with 4 children, 5 grandchildren, and a small newborn great-grandchild, but we are spread out around Sweden. Salam and greetings to you, Ole Markovic from Sweden. I do express my appreciation to you for this email, and also many thanks for sharing your sweet Christmas experience with us and our dear listeners around the world. As you said, we Iranians celebrate New Year with the beginning of the spring, and our celebrations are called Nowruz. Anyway, it was such great experiences, as you said, the way you celebrated Christmas and the New Year, and also your childhood experiences, which were really sweet. Thank you for that. Anyway, we wish you all the best. May 2021 bring love, peace, and joy for all people around the world. Ole Markovic from Sweden, write to us soon and tell us which programs in IRB English Radio you like the best. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Well, from England, we have an email from Patrick Travers. Patrick Travers is from England and says, "Dear friends at IRB English Radio, I found listening to your English broadcast this evening very interesting and enjoyable. I would be very interested in learning more about your broadcast, and I would welcome any information. Please, will you send a program schedule and pennant or any other publicity manual?" First of all, salam and greetings to you, Patrick Travers from England, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We are so glad that you just joined us in IRIB English Radio and you found the signals of IRIB English Radio in your country, England. And we are glad that you found our programs very interesting. As for your request about the program schedule, you can find our program schedule in our website with this address www.parstoday.com/en. There you can find any information that we broadcast in IRB English Radio. And also for your request regarding your request about sending pennant or other publicity manual, we in IRB English Radio, as for your information, we used to send our dear listeners such items in the past, but after the outbreak of coronavirus, this trend stopped, but we will resume it after the disease is controlled around the world. Anyway, many thanks for writing to IRB English Radio. Keep in touch with us and tell us which programs you like the best. Thank you again. We wish you all the best. Keep in touch. Patrick Travers from England. Dear listeners, time tells me that we have to skip the other section of our program, that is this week's interview, which is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
Yes, my name is Chris Dampure. I live in Stevenage, Hertfordshire, the UK. I've been in Stevenage for about 40-odd years, and I've been a shortwave listener now for 61 years. I think you offer a very wide variety of programming on the short. It does give a very good insight into your society as such regarding your government and obviously what you feel about things in the world. And I think this is a very important thing. There's no point in having all one side, one voice shouting one thing and no one replying. And sometimes, as we know in the past, the biggest shout is sometimes giving wrong information and incorrect information, as we found in two world wars, particularly the Second World War. IRIB does give back, obviously, to your history of the country, particularly the history of the country and the culture, and also the tourism, these wonderful sites to see in Iran. You did a series of previously on tourist sites in Iran, places to visit. These things are extremely interesting because no one else covers it. And on top of this, you do give a background to obviously the things you support and why. In particular case of Israel, this thing is obviously in the Western media, is dominated by the fact that the West is backed up by Zionist money in many respects. And this is where this does come to light. That's the reason why the people here are doing, as they say, as the owner says you do sort of thing, whereas in Iran you're saying, well, that's why you're doing the way you're doing it, because you've got so much backing from Zionist money. Yes, good listening to shortwave as what you're doing now, and on top of that, continue listening to IRIB and learn from what they say, and also understand their views as well. And that, I think, is the point of shortwave. We listen to shortwave to find out more about what's going on in the world. And obviously, some things we learn about are not what we knew already. And this is the problem, I think, that many people need to listen to shortwave more to understand what's going on in the world, around the whole world, not just one part of the world.
Dear listeners, before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I do express my condolences on the tragic martyrdom anniversary of the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ocean of Dua.
Amma inni as'aluka al-huda wat-tuqa wal-'afafa wal-ghina.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rrajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, we were talking about sincerity in the love of the Almighty Allah. In the previous program, we concluded that since in the traditions, the heart has been referred to as Haramullah, as the sanctuary of Allah, it is only the Almighty Allah who is allowed into that heart, and of course, whatever may enter to that heart, it should be an extension to the love of the Almighty Allah. In some prayers, we can sense the ardor of love and the trueness of sincerity in the love of Allah. For example, in the words of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, he says, O my master, toward you is my desire, to you is my fear, and toward you is my aspiration. My hope has driven me to you, and unto you, O the One, I have placed my determination. And on what you possess, I have unfolded my wish.
Alhamdulillah, Khaliq al-Khalq, Basit al-Rizq, Faliq al-Asbah, Dhil Jalal wal-Ikram, Wal-Fadl wal-In'am, الذي بعد فلا يرى وقرب فشهد النجوى.
You can see, dear listeners, that during this supplication, the Imam alayhi salam is tying his desire, his fear, his hope, and all of these things all together to the Almighty Allah. He is actually placing all his resolution on him. He continues saying, For you are my earnest hope and fear. With you my love has become accustomed. And to you I have surrendered myself. To the rope of your obedience I have fastened my fear. He goes on and lands and says, O my Lord, my heart is living with your remembrance. And in confiding to you, do I cool within myself the agony of fear. So, he is placing all desires, fears, and hopes, and everything on him. He is dedicating to him his earnest hope and fear. the Holy Prophet wasallam is narrated to have said, love Allah wholeheartedly. And it is exactly in this regard one of the supplications of Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam, when he says, O Allah, I ask you to fill my heart with the love of you, with awe of you, belief in you, faith in you, fear of you, and yearning toward you. You see, all these things, all his resolutions are placed on him. The mighty Allah is the beginning and is the ending part of all his actions, all his life. And this is what happens when the love of Allah and yearning toward him fills the heart of a servant. And there would remain no vacant place in the heart for another love apart from that of the Almighty Allah. Of course, unless the other love is an extension to the Almighty Allah's love. And in this case, it would be counted as the love of Allah and yearning toward him.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ob onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ob kamju tishnagi obar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad obaz balav as. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God stays with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
In fact, it is only at these moments that the love of Adhan Allah does not contradict the love of the Almighty Allah. In his prayer at the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, Imam Sadr alayhi salam says, send blessings on Muhammad and his progeny. Occupy my heart with the great of your affair, and send love of you until I meet you on the day of judgment with blood gushing forth from my jugular vein. This statement, dear listeners, is implying sincerity in love for the Almighty Allah, since his love becomes the only thing occupying the heart of the servant. And love of Allah is the only concern of such a heart, and these two do not part each other. That's it, dear listeners. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The West is obliged to lift the sanctions against Iran immediately. Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, delivered a televised speech on the anniversary of the People of Qom's uprising against the oppressive Pahlavi regime. Imam Khamenei used to address the whole nation on the anniversary of the January 8, 1978, which is 19th of Day uprising, in the presence of thousands of people from Qom in the Husseiniyah of Imam Khomeini. However, due to COVID-19 restrictions, His Eminence addressed the nation via a televised speech this year. It is a correct decision. It is a completely reasonable, logical, acceptable decision. When almost all of the other side's commitments in the JCPOA are not honored, it does not make sense for the Islamic Republic to honor all its commitments. This is why, since a while ago, they are gradually withdrawing from some of our commitments. And recently, too, they have withdrawn from some others. Of course, if they return to their commitments, we will return to ours as well. It is a source of dignity and pride for the country. Of course, they are working on the corona vaccine in different ways, but in one case, they are testing a vaccine on human beings and it has proven to be successful.
Your light and love, all I see, a thing more I'd ever want to need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger.
Importing American or English vaccines to country is prohibited. I have said this to the officials, and I am now announcing this publicly. If the Americans had been able to produce vaccine, the corona disaster would not have occurred in their own country. A few days ago, there were 4,000 deaths in their country in one day. If they know how to make a vaccine, and if their Pfizer factory knows how to produce one, they can use it for themselves so that there won't be so many deaths there. The same is true for England. They are not trustworthy or reliable. I don't know. Perhaps they wish to test a vaccine on other nations to see if it works or not. And of course, I do not trust French either. The reason is their history in giving us contaminated blood, France's HIV-tainted blood supplies.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praise.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB